There's a famous legal adage that goes like this: hard cases make bad law. And the case of Jared Remy, who's accused of killing his girlfriend Jennifer Martel, could illustrate the point. Not only is it a very hard case, but it may be ushering in a significant new domestic violence law in Massachusetts. Here's House Speaker Robert DeLeo a little earlier this month.
Some of the exposés that have been written, especially about the Jared Remy case, has brought strong light to the fact of how serious an issue that this is, that requires our immediate attention.
DeLeo's bill includes a new mandatory delay on releasing domestic battery suspects after they've posted bail, and stronger penalties, including more jail time. It has a great deal of support from state legislators and victim advocates.
Earlier this month, we heard from those advocates and from defense attorneys who have concerns about the bill. But former federal judge and Harvard Law professor Nancy Gertner brings a new idea to the table. She believes DeLeo's domestic violence bill is a bad proposal and could actually backfire on victims, leading to more violence, not less. She co-authored a recent editorial in the Boston Globe on this issue, and she joins us now. Welcome back to the show, Nancy.
Nice to be here.
So if I may say this to a former federal judge, briefly make your case to us about why you think that this bill could lead to more violence.
Put it in a nutshell. If you put people away for longer amounts of time, you make more and more felonies. They are then disabled from jobs, from public housing, from education, from a whole host of things. And the statistics are clear that the recidivism rate for men who've come out of jail is higher than for those who did not go to jail. So the issue is what works, not what makes us feel good.
Now, you say in your op-ed that specifically men incarcerated for domestic violence are roughly 7 to 10% more likely to commit another domestic violence crime upon release from prison, which is what you were just mentioning.
Right.
But you also mention in the op-ed that you would have liked us as a society to learn the lessons from the rash of drug possession and drug use laws that came out after different high-profile cases that really led to a dramatic increase in incarceration. Now, why do you draw that analogy?
We have had a habit, particularly in this state but across the country, that when there is a high-profile crime, rather than asking the question of what works to stop that crime, we immediately run into court and politicians will say, double, triple the penalties. And that may be an appropriate response, or it may in fact be the reverse. We did that when Len Bias, the Celtics player, had an overdose of cocaine. It led to the worst, and really the worst, public policy drug conviction policies than we've ever had in this country. We did this. We're doing this now with juvenile life without parole. There's a horrible crime, and we sweep within the more imprisonment, no parole category, people who actually don't belong there. In other words, rather than a reasoned discussion about what works and what makes sense and what really deters, we just send for more punishment.
Right. But Nancy Gertner, if I may ask you, I mean, specifically regarding the comparison to all those drug possession and drug crime laws, I mean, when we're talking about domestic violence, you know, if a person is convicted of that, they're convicted of acts of physical violence against someone, not just possession, say, of a couple ounces of an illicit drug. I mean, isn't that crime, that violent crime, demonstrably more serious than possession and rightly punished by incarceration?
I'm not necessarily saying that it isn't been punished by incarceration. The question is whether that's the only tool in our toolkit. And what this statute does is encourage judges to use only that tool. In fact, as a result of all the press around Jared Remy's case, judges are now fearful of actually having any kind of dispassionate review of the case. Even victims' advocates understand that this, although it should be punished and resoundingly criticized, that's not the only solution, that there are other services, domestic violence more than any other. Why is it the woman doesn't come forward and press the charges? Because she understands that she will lose her access to any income. What can we do about that? In other words, I'm not saying, that don't punish. Punishment may be part of the picture, but it surely is not the only picture.
Right. And the bill also draws attention towards the people who are tasked with meting out those punishments. In other words, judges themselves. And I mean, Attorney General Martha Coakley, who does support Robert DeLeo's bill, has said back on April 1st that she believes it's necessary because the Jared Remy case in and of itself really shows that judges may not understand domestic violence as an issue or a crime because he was so frequently, you know, released without any sort of hearing. And so let's listen to a little bit of tape from Martha Coakley.
There's at least an equal culpability on the part of the judges, and that's where the issue remains with judges who either don't or haven't understood the dynamics of these kinds of cases.
Now, Nancy Gertner, you sat on the bench yourself for many years. What do you make of what Martha Coakley is saying and this particular aspect of the bill?
This is completely disingenuous. Remy was allowed out in the most recent time because of a joint prosecutor-defense lawyer recommendation. In a situation where the defense lawyer purports to know the defendant and the prosecutor says, I know him too, and here's our recommendation, it is fundamentally disingenuous to say it was the judge's fault. Now, to be sure, if you want to give the judge meaningful additional information other than what the parties have given, then we focus on more resources for probation so the judge gets a report that's independent of what the lawyers have done. But to blame the judges in this situation, it seems to me, is really fundamentally disingenuous. I'm no apologist for people on the bench, but if both sides come to me and say, we've worked this out, we've talked about it, we know more than you do, judge, that's going to happen, and it's going to happen again, and it's not the judge's fault.
But you, in your op-ed, you write that some of the proposed provisions in the bill are helpful, such as providing judges with more domestic violence training.
There's no question about that. There's no question the training about the situation, and it is a complicated situation. I don't mean when I say complicated that it should be ignored the way it was years and years ago. Domestic violence was seen essentially as a private matter. I'm saying complicated in the sense of trying to understand what resources should be brought to bear so that both victims, the victims are protected and that the man involved is punished proportionately. If the only tool in our toolkit is throw him in jail, I can assure you we will not be helping victims either.
Well, Nancy Gertner, we've just got under a minute to go, but I do want to ask you one last question because you close your op-ed with a very provocative thought. That you say, as usual with bills passed in the midst of a moral panic, it goes far beyond the conditions that gave rise to it. But other people, you know, and victim advocates themselves might say that that's a fair trade-off for what they believe have been years of inaction.
You can't talk about years of inaction because for the past 15 years, this has been in the forefront of the women's movement. This was the case when I was just getting on the bench. It may not have been the right action, but you can't say that there is inaction. The notion then that judges ought to be trained is unquestionably a good thing. Prosecutors ought to be trained. But again, the response here, Jared Remy is an atypical case. Most of the people that are prosecuted are people who are poor. So this is just not a single response to a complex situation.
Nancy Gertner is a former federal judge and current professor at Harvard Law School and a frequent guest here on Radio Boston. She recently wrote, or co-authored, I should say, an op-ed about the new domestic violence legislation making its way through Beacon Hill. She wrote it for the Boston Globe, and you can find a link to it at our website, radioboston.org. Nancy Gertner, great to have you as always. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stay with us. Coming up, we'll explore some serious research into what makes things funny and why Boston is wicked funny, but not as funny as Chicago. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.